This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. We've got two chapters, chapters 85 and 86, from the Star Seeds of Earth coming up on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. This is episode 665 for the special episode 666. We have a special guest coming up. Andrew P. Weston will be with us next week for something that takes us to hell for episode 666. Seemed apropos. Today, though, we got more Alibi Jones, chapter 85 and 86 of The Starseeds of Earth. Alibi Jones used his newfound starseed-given abilities to bring Cat back from being disembodied energy by fusing him with his brother, Kit, inside of the same body and brain. And that physical form just was altered into a huge feral echo of its former self, also by the starseed. Alibi also got mentally rid of Hap by casting him into a living oblivion, a giant negation, an incarnation of no, an eldritch negativity. There may be repercussions, but Hap is gone for now. But the battle and the war continue. In chapters 85 and 86 of The Starseeds of Earth, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. So yes, next week I was mentioning we will have a special guest for episode 666. We're going to hear an excerpt from Andy Weston from his latest hellish masterpiece, Call of the Cambion. You might remember Andy from his book and series, The Ninth on the Lost Legion, or from his contributions to the Heroes in Hell series. So we're going to hear from Andrew P. Weston from his new series, The Cambion Journals. And a Cambion is a half-demon, half-human hybrid, which seems, yes, apropos for episode 666 of Glow in the Dark Radio. So that's coming up next week. If you're listening on the 31st, you may have a couple more hours to take advantage of the Smashwords July Summer Winter Sale, which is going on just through July, so just a few more hours before that changes over. Those of you who check out my videos might want to check out the new one I've just put up as of Sunday morning, which is an experiencing video, experiencing more possible serpent effigy rose in Williston, Vermont. Saw some really interesting ones this week, so new video is up. Up next, we're going to get into chapters 85 and 86 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio.
What the hell is this, the wonderful Billy Flynn?
Just some podcast that's supposed to be geeky. Podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Did you try it?
I'm not going to try it. You try it.
Screw that noise. I'm not going to try it. Hey, Flynnstress, let's get Mikey.
Do you mean critically acclaimed comedy rock star Mikey Mason, who hosts the Beer Power Time Machine podcast?
Yeah,
but he won't listen. He hates everything.
Hi, I'm critically acclaimed comedy rock star Mikey Mason. I don't often listen to podcasts, but when I do, make mine Geek Radio Daily.
Hey man, that's a different promo.
Between love and madness lies Geek Radio Daily.
That's kind of accurate.
There are some things money can't buy.
GRD is free online.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Geek Radio Daily.
We'll take it.
Geek Radio Daily. all the geek without the wait. GeekRadioDaily.com.
Now here's Chapter 85 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi, wake up! We've got incoming ships, and the transspace drives are almost ready! Alibi ripped himself up out of bed and responded. Wake, he managed. What's happening? They tried to send an attack wing in, Emily said. Didn't go well for them. The asteroids are still our friends. Still, two fighters got through, tried to go after our protector ships. What happened? Alibi asked. DJ and Katie happened, Emily said. They were on duty. Both highly accurate shots. So no more fighters? A couple more wings are scrambled out there that we can tell, but they're not moving this way yet, Emily said. But the exterminators, or whatever they are, just started firing at rocks again. Looks like they're going to try to clear a path to us again. Enforcers, Alibi said, I think. Worse than that, she said, by blowing apart the asteroids in front of them, they're disrupting the entire field. So now we have stray rocks coming at us from their direction, too. Great, Alibi said. How much sleep did I get? About 4 hours, she said. Thanks, he said. I'll think on this while I get dressed. And he disconnected. KB, how do I move things with my mind? Telekinesis. Thanks. Wasn't asking what it was called. Can I do it? Someone as early on in their development usually cannot. I have seen you do other things more advanced, however. So I would say perhaps it is likely. Is it easier to move animate or inanimate objects? There isn't a difference that I know of. What do I need to know? Quiet your mind. I will give it to you. Alibi closed his eyes. He didn't feel any different, but he suddenly had better knowledge of how to execute his plans, an idea of what he could and couldn't do. What he wanted to do fell kind of in between those two. He wasn't entirely positive he could do it, but he wasn't sure that he couldn't either. Thank you, KB. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. My hope is by giving you more knowledge, you'll become less dangerous. We can hope. I'd rather not hurt anyone, at all. It is too late for that. What, Hap? You know what you did. I was not speaking, but my presence was there, and aware. You were witnessed. You sacrificed one to the nameless nothing. You do not do this. I didn't know what else to do. It was necessary. That may be. It was still an evil act. And the killing of the body made him unrecoverable. This is a stain upon your soul, Alibi Jones. Wait on your eternal spirit. You don't do that, even to your mortal enemy, even if they would do it to you. I'm sorry. This knowledge base may not be able to assist you any longer, Alibi Jones. KB? Knowledge base? Nothing. Alibi's mind was quiet. He sighed. Alibi left his place and headed for the transspace drives first to see what Krish had to report.
Almost ready, Alibi, Krish said. We need another day, at least.
Another day? Alibi said. Krish, we don't have that kind of time. I was hoping for minutes and hours.
24 hours? Chris said. Give or take a few minutes.
Not better, Alibi said.
I heard you did it, Chris said. Use the substance. But you look the same.
Mine is mostly unlocking up here, Alibi said, pointing to his head.
Emily and Kit are quite altered, Krish said. I counseled caution, but was ignored.
Yet none of us turned evil, Alibi said, lost our humanity, and became the ancient enemy.
Kit? Krish said.
Feral, Alibi said. I'll give you that. But I discovered Kat's bioenergy was still here and alive, and bonded the two together. Kit's new altered form seems to have helped stabilize him. Them.
You did? Krish asked. Kat is back?
As part of Kit, Alibi said. The two are now combined in Kit's altered new body.
How could? Well, that might explain why Kit has refused to leave his room, Krish said. This will take some getting used to.
It's a lot to process, Alibi said. I can only imagine. I didn't like my half-brother even trying to get inside my head. But then again, he was evil and such. I hope those two can live with each other like that.
A miracle you found Kat alive, Krish said. Or at least his energy.
Speaking of miracles, Alibi let the thought trail off.
I will try to cut the time down, Alibi, Krish said.
Do you need anything? Alibi said. People, supplies?
We are good, I believe, Alibi, Krish said. Resources aren't the question. It's now assembling and testing, to the extent we can.
Well then, I won't hold you up any longer, Alibi said. Thank you, Krish.
Thank you, Alibi.
Alibi made his way to the control room. This newer part here looks like a starship. Suppose it's all the conduits and cables and stuff. Or just the way they design spaces around engines, what they're used to. He walked into the control room. Alibi smiled at Emily as she looked up. She gave him a little wave, then turned back to the display she was studying. Emily didn't look the same, bulked up as she was. She wasn't quite acting the same either. Maybe more bossy. Or maybe Alibi was intimidated by her new physicality. More intimidated than before? She's always been formidable. He was no longer attracted to her, however. That kind of disappointed him. He hadn't thought himself the shallow type, but there was something to be said about looks and the way they work on the mind and body. A real change like this was jarring. And I have no idea why my mind is going here now. You know, it's really uncanny, Emily said. You don't look that different, Alibi, or act that different.
Not weird, Alibi said.
No weirder than usual, Emily said. Although, she paused, she looked around. No one else was paying attention to them, so she continued in a softer voice. Our thing? It's kind of gone, huh? I was just thinking that too, Alibi said. Makes me sad in a way. And makes me wonder if I was having some kind of mental impact on her, making her love me. Now that she has natural shields, she would no longer be impacted, would she? She gave him a look, the edges of her mouth slightly downturned. I'm sorry, she said. You seem kind of small now.
Don't pity me, Alibi said. And I won't feel sorry for you either. This is just one of those things that happens.
When you experiment with an alien substance on your mind and body, Emily said.
As you get older, Alibi said, and bigger, maybe.
He smiled to let her know he was joking. I'm sorry I woke you up, she said. I thought Krish was further along with the transbase drives.
That you can apologize for, he said. But no, it was good. I got to check in with him and see where he was at. Give him some encouragement.
He was over-promising yesterday, I think, she said. Reality came and smacked him in the face.
I think I might check on Kit, Alibi said. See how they are holding up.
Emily smiled. I can't believe you brought back Kat, she said.
So you know, Alibi asked.
I stopped in to see them about an hour ago, Emily said. They were okay. Thinking about who they are now, it is pretty amazing to have Kat back, even like this, you know, these conditions. I hope they can keep it together, Alibi said. They will, she said. What are you doing, he asked. Trying to plot our shortest route to a free enough space to use the transpace drives, she said. Can I see? Sure. Alibi walked over and leaned in to look at her display, showing a mesh of asteroid trajectories, an oval overlay indicating the gravity-free zone needed for the Hornet's Nest to use its massive transpace drives. There wasn't a lot of space for the oval on the screen. Looks like spaghetti, Alibi said. Except instead of meatballs, there are rocks, Emily said, and no room to move. We may not get into a clear enough space to use the drives, even when they're finished. I'm working on a plan, Alibi said. Nothing firm yet, but I'm trying to come up with a way we might clear the rocks from our path. Good, she said. We need it. Alibi straightened up. How are we doing with protector ships? He asked. Good, Emily said. I have Hector and Bob on a wing with two newbies, and Katie and DJ leading two other ships on their wing, and Grizz with three other ships, and rotating wings of four, 8 hours on, 16 hours off. The Safe haven't sent another attack wing in since that first costly run. Letting the Greater Ta enforcers blow the asteroids away instead of running their ships into them, Alibi said. Good idea, I guess. The other seven pilots out there okay? Any good? Not awesome, but enthusiastic. And learning fast, Emily said. Alibi winced. Not the best endorsement, Alibi said. I hear you. They're not going to be standing up to Safe pilots and attack craft. Emily shook her head, no. But they can't hit rocks. Yes, she said. Doing very well so far. Alibi looked back at the display. So, which way are we moving now? Well, Emily said, pointing. Over here is our wake. That is really spaghetti-ish because we disturbed a lot of rocks, which ricocheted into and disturbed more rocks, which then disturbed even more rocks. You get the idea. Can't go there. The rest isn't so much spaghetti as it is a chain mesh, a bunch of small, intricately connected, interlocked circles. All these rocks orbiting around each other in their eons-long gravitational dance. And we're breaking them up, Alibi said, changing the tune, like we're disturbing the harmony. Maybe we did, she said, but too late to get philosophical on that front now. She changed the subject. Look over here. See this spaghetti effect? These are the changes in these rocks' trajectories, their orbits, as a result of the blasting of the big ships out there. So the chain link mesh turns into spaghetti when it gets disturbed, Alibi said. Well, that's a really bad mixed up set of metaphors, but it kind of works, Emily said. It means we can't go that way either. I think if we vector off down about 40 degrees over here, however, we're steering our clearest course. She pointed out an area where there were fewer floating links to contend with. That is clearer, he said. But there's no space around us with enough room for the transpace drive to function within, if that oval overlay is accurate. No, I know, she said. That's true, so far. I'm calculating the mass of the rocks in this area to find the smallest and the lightest. See if there's a path we could open up in this general vicinity by blasting. He smiled at her. Good luck, Emily, he said. I'll check back in later. Alibi left the control room and headed back to the living spaces of the Hornet's Nest. He tried Kit and Kat's place, but they didn't want to be disturbed. He went home to his own apartments, figuring, at worst, to grab a catnap. But first, he wanted to try something. Chapter 86. Alibi Jones sat down in his living room, on the couch, and quieted his mind. He ascended to float over his body in astral form, and allowed himself to expand a bit, so he was capable of taking more in. Alibi allowed himself to fill with mind water, flowing with power, and floated up and out of the hornet's nest, tethered to his body and the nest by a slim, silver harmonic cord of life and mind water. He rose above and beyond the elliptical plane of the star. His perception remained clear and distant. He could see the dreadnought and the three enforcers and their smaller attendant ships, held back by the belt of asteroids within whose thickness the nest now moved. Turning back to the nest and looking at their wake, rocks tumbling and crashing, smashing into each other, blasting each other apart, Alibi knew whenever the asteroid belt settled back down into some kind of equilibrium, there would be smaller and more numerous asteroids in the belt. And here I thought moving the hornet's nest was a great idea. Instead, it's bringing destruction. Let's see if I can do anything about us being destroyed. Alibi floated down toward the course Emily had been plotting the station's way through, dropping down to where the nest would be this time tomorrow at their current crawl. He'd noted a medium-sized, slow rock near the path when he'd eyed the display earlier. Now he sought it out, finding it about where he thought it would be. Now, the test. Alibi focused his mind and drew on the power and mind water, trying to form a physical push to the medium-sized rock using his mental abilities. He felt some flow, but it wasn't enough to skip a pebble, never mind push a medium-big asteroid around. And the mind water wasn't coming like it had. It felt like a trickle. Alibi tried to push the rock all the same, but nothing happened. KB, are you punishing me? Stopping me? No. Well, at least it was still there. Why can't I do this? Because you are not here. You are back there. Push requires flow. You have very little flow out here in this form. So I need to be here? There was no answer. You are being difficult. You are lucky. There should be no more communication. Precedence indicates this. But there has been no communication with anyone for 1,000,000 years. You did not know this was wrong, though you perhaps should have. There are factors that weigh in your favor. And the larger question. Larger? Before, you gave that Eldred Darkness a mere taste of yourself, and you endangered your race and our entire settled universe. Now, you have fed it an entire malignant soul, full of all the information about who we are, where we are, what we are. If we abandon you, you will not be prepared to face the ultimate threat of this weaponized Eldritch Darkness when it comes. And now, it will come much sooner. When? We cannot say. A decade? 5 years? We cannot calculate this. But not tomorrow, correct? Yes, not tomorrow. It is almost infinitely unlikely to be tomorrow. Almost? There was no response. Alibi drifted into his body and grounded himself back down in it. I'm not sure I like being out of my body. Not when I've had it taken away from me once already. Maybe it's better to work in place. Have to head out there and see if I can move some rocks with my mind. He got ready for bed and found, still fairly exhausted, he fell right to sleep. Alibi got up and freshened. He headed to his office and called over to the control room to check in with Emily. Any change? Alibi asked. We're seeing some activity around the dreadnought, Emily said. One of the Stinger ships with it is alongside. We can't see from here what they're up to, but it is unusual. Gotcha. The greater Ta vessels continue their bombardment of the asteroids, she said. But they don't seem to have a real plan to the rocks they're hitting. They're making a mess over there. So long as they stay over there, and the mess keeps them there, that's fine, Alibi said. I'm going out in the A.D. Foster to scout the Hornet's Nest's path. You are? She said. Why? I need to try something, and it has to be done out there, Alibi said. I won't be gone long. You're heading out now? She asked. Soon, he said. Just about to leave my office. One stop to make before I head to the ship. Don't know how long it will take. Oh, she said. You going to try to take them with you? Alibi smiled. They were still on the same wavelength. Yeah, he said. Wish me luck. Good luck, she said, and signed off.
That was Chapter 86 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Well, Alibi has something in mind. We're going to see if getting out alongside the floating rocks lets him move them with his mind. Coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. But that won't be on our next episode. Our next episode is our special guest episode, episode 666. As we hear from Andrew P. Weston, and he's going to be reading to us from his Cambion Journals. The Call of the Cambion. His new book, book two of that. So we'll be hearing from Andy next time around for episode 666. So I hope you'll be back for that. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation, copyright 2022 by Michael F. Luoma, and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and MikeLuoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.